The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Hey there, I'm Tara Sloan. Welcome to a brand new episode of The Undercurrent. I wanted to close out May, which is South Asian Heritage Month, with a guest who is doing incredible work in that community. Dan Bibrar is a former pro player, a coach, and co-founder of APNA Hockey, an initiative dedicated to breaking down barriers and opening doors for South Asian players in the sport of hockey. From facing racism on the ice as a kid in small-town BC to winning the Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award, Dampy has turned adversity into advocacy. Now Dampy's work continues with his new organization, South Asian Hockey, and as a coach with the prestigious Okanagan Hockey Academy in Penticton, British Columbia. Here's my conversation with Dampy.
So, okay, let's just jump right in. I want to go back to the very beginning. I'm always interested to hear about how people fell in love with the game of hockey. So how did it come to you?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Sparwood, BC, so I didn't grow up in Calgary. A lot of people think I grew up in Calgary, which Calgary is my hometown. Well, now it's Penticton, but in Sparwood, I think for me was, it started where a bunch of kids would be playing road hockey. We had a townhouse and like a non-busy street, and there was a mixture of South Asians, East Indians, and the white boys out of Spurred playing hockey. And yeah, I knew a lot of East Indians because my parents, being, you know, immigrants, they're going to kind of associate more with the East Indians, right? The language, the culture, and just being comfortable. But I would see these boys play hockey, and I was only 4 years old, and I thought it was the best thing. I would just sit there watching them play street hockey, sit in my front steps, and thought, wow, this is wicked. I can hear them laugh and compete the sticks. And remember, hockey's kind of foreign to our family, but I knew that this person's playing, and I know this person's playing. And I was just like this, watching in awe. Now, my dad kind of caught wind of this and kind of looked at me, and he was an athlete back in India, and he went up to the local store, I think it was McLeod's, and he bought me a hockey stick, a plastic one, black butt end, yellow shaft, pink reddish blade, and had two plastic pucks. And he gave it to me, and I knew exactly what to do. I went downstairs. We had a townhouse, but the basement was undeveloped and had a concrete floor. And I would just shoot at the wall. And then after about two or three shots, I'm like, there's a milk crate. So I started shooting it in there. And I would just replicate what they were doing. That was my initial kind of introduction to hockey. And I'm glad my dad caught on to that. I kind of was enjoying it. When you're an athlete, you and your dad, and you're an athlete, you kind of catch on what you're, you know, like. And then there's about five or six East Indian older players, about 5 or 6 years older than me, that were in hockey. My dad knew them. They all worked at the mines and the coal mines. And they were like, hey, you should put Dampy in hockey. And that's what happened. And I started playing at the age of five or six, and boom, and hockey. And I enjoyed it. And then third year is where I was like, I took off on development and just the love of the game. And that's how it basically started.
So in the league that you were playing in your minor hockey association, were there other kids that looked like you, or was it you and a bunch of white kids? No, you had some.
Yeah. Each age group had, like Tander Sandhu was the person that introduced me to hockey. He was 5 years older than me.
Right.
And he just passed away about 3-4 years ago, unfortunately, but he took me out. Like, I remember it was in September or late August, and I was only 5 years old, and everybody was talking about hockey and the NHL. And he goes, I can take Dampy out skating. And I don't know where he got the skates from. He took me out to skating. Back then, there was no limitations of helmets and gloves. And I remember jumping on. He throws a chair. He goes, hey, here's a chair. And the first thing I look at the chair says DOS. And I didn't realize what DOS stood for until when I got older, District of Sparwood, right? So I kept putting my eye right where it said DOS. And that's what he said. He goes, look at DOS and just push the chair. And then about 10 minutes later, he grabs the chair and kind of wings it to the side. And he goes, come to me. And I started striding. And he goes, holy crap, you actually learn how to skate pretty quick. So we went back to the house that where everybody was at. And he goes, damn, you learned how to skate already. And I was like, that's skating. Like, you know, like I'm still absorbing everything. So for me, you know, the older boys played hockey and I knew about them. And then it was a lot of guys my age. Sorry, not my age, but a couple, 2 years older, a year younger. I didn't have anybody my age, like born in 76, but 77, 75, 74, 73. So I played with them. And there was one time in Adam Hockey, it was our whole line was East Indian. Our one of the defensemen was East Indian. We kind of went in five-man units. And Doug Meadows, and to this day, I, you know, we interact here and there. And he was the other defenseman. He was the ginger kid that just kind of fit in, like being a little different, I guess. And there were all five of us. So I thought it was pretty unique to have four South Asians on a hockey team, East Indians, Punjabi, all Punjabi. And all of our dads and moms are friends and stuff. And so as we continued on hitting different levels of hockey, some started dropping off to play school sports or other things. And I didn't want to, and I wanted to keep going. So, you know, it takes a village, they say. And not only the influence of East Indians in my life, but a lot of the coaches, obviously, every one of my coaches was white. And they didn't kind of see that. They just like, he's a good hockey player, give him an opportunity, this, that. So I want to, you know, the appreciation to all the coaches that kind of took me in, took my family in. Not only that, hockey is like, to learn how to get hockey equipment and all that kind of stuff. That takes other people to help.
For sure. And you know full well, I mean, doing what you do, that hockey at its best is, it is the best of community. It's the best that community can offer. But you also have been really open about some of the racism you faced on the ice, and not just from kids, but from parents too, right. Which is somehow even more disgusting. Have things gotten better from what you are experiencing now?
Well, this is what I'll say to people. Hockey is getting better. Hockey is paying more attention to racial discrimination. You know, even women's hockey, you know, there's more, they're higher up in the agenda on AGMs than way before. I have a daughter that plays hockey, so there's an attention to detail there for me.
Yeah.
I think for me, hockey is still in the motion of getting rid of the racial discrimination and stigma, but it's still there. And a lot of people will like, well, I don't see it. Well, you don't see it because people don't DM you on Instagram and then exchange numbers. And actually, I'll sit there and listen to everything to actually say, hey, maybe there's racial discrimination. But there's, you know, I've been doing this for 6.5 years. I was with a different platform, and now I started my own. Basically, not started, like I started my own, but still doing the same thing. But yeah, like I'm in, from October 1st to almost middle of March to end of March, you know, not every call was about racial discrimination, but there's a, how do I say this in, like properly? There's a little bit of a fear that our ethnic community now has money. Where our generation, my generation, has good jobs, can put 3 kids in hockey, right? We are educated in the game. There's online content that you can find out. Like it's, everything is there. And our parents are putting kids in extra development. They're putting them in tier one teams. They're coaching as well. Like, you know, one of my buddies, I'm like, are you coaching? He's like, hell yeah, of course. I played hockey for a reason. So we're in the coaching side of things. We, you know, we have the finances now to put our kids at high level hockey, get proper skates, sticks and everything. And I think when we hit the 13, 14, the serious age of going to academies and all that, that's where there's a little bit of a lapse, is that do we push kid one or kid two into it? And I've talked to a lot of parents, and I hear their emotion. A lot of my calls are on FaceTime, so I can see emotion. Is the parent just making an excuse that my kid is not playing at the highest level or not? And then some of them will send me their kid's schedule and say, hey, I'm in the morning at 6 o'clock. I'm doing this, but why is my kid not getting an opportunity? But there's a kid in the same team who has less points, you know, this, and he's getting an opportunity. And then there's a blatant racism where a kid has come up and say, hey, dad, from the beginning of the year, they've been calling me this, and the dad's right. Worried. I did not know this. Why did you tell me earlier? He goes, well, I don't want to be blacklisted and all that. And so there is at least 7 to 8 calls I've taken this year minimum on that.
Right? Okay.
So yeah.
It's still there.
It's still there. Yeah. And how it's being handled in some cases is not very good.
Ah, okay.
And that's another piece.
What, I mean, just maybe elaborate a little bit on that. I mean, what to you is, you know, I know work like Hockey Equality does what I think is probably incredible work, incredible, really immersive kind of intervention, collaborative. What models for you work when it comes to that and what doesn't?
Well, the thing is, first things first is the coaching staff, the general manager or the association, just to be like, okay, this is serious, or we need to talk about this.
Right.
That's like anything in conflict resolution. My son comes up to me and goes, Dad, I want to talk to you. You've been absent or not interactive for the last 3-4 days with us. Are you okay? And then we can have a conversation, right? Like, just in case if I'm busy doing things and kids want the attention from dad and want to talk about their sports and all that kind of stuff. And it's as simple as that, what you do in families, right? A husband, wife, co-workers at work. You know, I was in an engineering firm and, you know, working there in Calgary, and when things weren't, for certain projects weren't going well, what do? You have a meeting right away. It's like, hey, like, we have to have this meeting to get back on the same page. Same thing with hockey is like when something happens, it's almost like an eye roll. So it's, oh, here we go again, right? Oh, yeah, this person's, oh, they're complaining. And then that person, the GM's like, oh, they're probably going to complain about ice time because of this and racial and all that. And the thing is, and the kids are smart enough this day of age of knowing what's a chirp, fun chirp, to what will throw off somebody. And I mean, I've been coaching my kids since they're both 5 years old, so I know the differences. And I've had certain things that I've talked about at the very beginning of the season, like being an ethnic minority. I said, hey, man, there's 5 or 6 players here that are from different ethnic. We're all treating them the same. And I've never had any problems with it. And it's just the initial conversation you have with the kids of also, like, there might be a female referee. There might be a female hockey player on the other team. There's going to be, you know, referees that are 13, 14 years old, just trying to get their feet wet in the game. Just let me talk to them, and they're going to make mistakes and offsides. So having that initial conversation of respect in the game is such an important. We do that respect in sport. Great. You just you go through that whole program. But I think it should start from the association. So how do I talk about that with them? Is like, have a conversation with the coach that this is serious. But a lot of coaches are like, okay, we'll talk in a couple of days, or let me look into it. Well, if the player is saying, two of the kids are saying this at the beginning of the year, and he kept it quiet, bring in the parents, bring in the kids, bring in everybody, like, hey, what's going on here, right? And bring up some of the stuff that is being said. Because somebody says a racial slur, the kid's already said it. So if it's brought up in a meeting, it's easy to tackle. Let's go right to the problem, and then you'll extinguish it, right? If there's a fire in a house, you try to you know, minimize it, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
Not wait, no, wait till 80% of the house is burnt down, then we'll figure it out. Because, you know, like, that's, I use analogies when I kind of talk about things, but there's a lot of cases where, like, the coaches have just swept it under the rug, or just kind of let the person on, send me an email, he sends a huge email, and it's like, you know, all the, like, from the times, the approximate times, the dates and all that, but it's not taken seriously because it could be the coach's son, or it could be somebody that, you know, they don't want to disrupt the team, but the kid going home at night going, I don't really want to play hockey.
Right.
I don't want to be with this guy. This is what he says to me. And you realize that it puts a really big effect on the kids and their performance, not just at the rink, but even at school. They keep thinking about it.
Of course.
And like, I remember one guy talked to me, one parent, it happened before Christmas, about 8 days before Christmas, maybe 9 days before Christmas. He talked to me. I go talk to the GM, sent a huge email, exchanged text messages. And then he goes, oh, the coach is busy, so we'll tackle this after we get back from the holidays. The whole holidays, the kid was like, didn't want to go on the ice, you know, just for fun, got even sticks and pucks, got back. the parent had to reach out, and the GM's like, oh, okay, yeah, you talked about it. Yeah, let's see, you know, and it just prolonged the situation and nothing happened. And then the parent was like, am I doing something? Then they start finger pointing themselves. Should I have said that? Should I just kept it quiet? And it's how you tackle things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. Imagine that happens at Sport Check. Two kids, one white kid, one East Indian kid, maybe the white kid, or even in the East Indian kids, is something about somebody's culture. It could be either or. And the supervisor is like, oh, we'll tackle this after. You know, like in the workplace, it would have been tackled right away and
exactly.
You know, brought in for a meeting and then get to a disciplinary situation or termination and all that kind of stuff. But hockey seems to kind of doesn't want to deal with it right away. I don't know if people know how to handle it, but at the end of the day, I think it needs to be talked about right away. Mm-hmm. And just for the kid's sake.
So, oh my gosh. Absolutely. Right? No, I can't imagine sitting on something like that for 2 weeks as a kid. I mean, it's bullying, right? And so it's going to have a lot of traumatic effects. What part of sort of, you know, making sure hockey is a safe space for everyone prompted you to get into coaching? You spent, you know, a lot of years, 7 years playing across various pro organizations. You know, you really got to a high level of hockey. Was coaching always in your sights? Did you always feel like you wanted to, I don't know, be the role model that maybe you never had?
Yeah, I think you've said that. The last statement, I you know, when you're playing hockey or any sport, like my kids are on track. And I've done track when I was younger, but not to the level they're at club and all that kind of stuff. But being able to go in a higher level of hockey has really helped with explaining the attention to details, the preparations, the so forth. So for me, this vision of wanting to give back started probably when I was peewee hockey. I was playing in Fernie. It was the Peewee Devils. We were AAA 1 year and AA the next year. I think it was after those two peewee years was very tough on me because I went from a superstar Adam player scoring X amount of goals to a normal hockey player playing with high level of hockey, traveling all the time, playing against bigger players. I was really scrawny when I was back then. Didn't have the personality, the outgoing, confident personality that I have now. And I was like, after my 2 years, I remember sitting at home going, I want to get somewhere in hockey somehow, some way, and I want to give back. And our community, it's called SEVA, and to unconditionally help. And that vision was there at the age of 12, 13, because I went through a little tough time. Tough time with the parents too. My parents are here right now visiting. They're just outside. I had to kick them outside. I'm like, my dad's mowing the lawn with a manual mower. It's like, we have a Airbnb that we're staying in here, and he's very active and stuff. And I think they had a hard time dealing with that. Dampy Bird, the superstar, Dampy Bird, the normal player, Dampy Bird getting pushed around on the ice. I was scared to go in corners, scared to get hit. Just, I didn't know what to do. And I didn't have an older cousin or brother or any mentor to be able to go, okay, you're growing to your size. And, you know, just be able to take me aside, who's played junior hockey or even pro hockey. And so even at 12, 13, I had that vision to do that. And obviously coaching was something that I always wanted to do. I loved how coaches coached. I had a lot of great coaches when I was younger in Sparwood and then through junior hockey and stuff. And I just like the fact that I can give back by coaching at times. But even before I had kids, I remember playing hockey in Tacoma, Washington. And on Mondays, I would go out with one of the hockey teams, not to coach, but just be there. And the coaches love the fact that a pro hockey player is coming out with the kids. Me was just to interact with the kids, make it fun. And even correct them a little bit, like, oh, hold your stick like this and, you know, have your head up a little bit more and don't stick handle so much. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, no problem. Like, they just took the advice. But for me, I was in a group of 8 East Indian friends. We had 4 older brothers and 4 younger brothers, and I was always the leader. I was the oldest, but I was always the leader. And the parents valued a lot of what we did. We play a lot of sports, so I forced them to play a lot of sports. So if they hear this, I've been on numerous podcasts, and they'd be like, yeah. We'd be like, we don't want to play too much. We're kind of tired. They're like, let's play road hockey. Oh, let's play basketball. We'll play bump now. Let's play basketball. Oh, sorry, volleyball over the swing set. Right. My dad took the swing sets away and had garden hoses for lines. And I'd be like, I'll set it up. I just love playing sports, and I really value my younger friends. to abide by all the rules that I had and wanted to play sports. So the coaching part came through leadership and wanting to play sports and wanting to be the best at the sport that I played. That's one thing that my dad, when he came to Canada, he had a no fail clause. He left India and he came to Canada, and his older brother goes, don't come back here. Like, if you leave, you make it work. And I realized at a young age that my dad couldn't go back. Right. Yeah, he couldn't go back and go, you know, Canada's pretty tough. It's cold in Prince George. It's wherever he was in different places before Sparwood. He just had to tough it out. And that's where I gained that mentality. And I would just kind of watch how my dad did things and my mom as well and be like, yeah, like any sport that you play, there should be no excuses. You should try to do your best. And I think for coaching side of things, that's the same thing I wanted. I wanted to help our youth and also bring the cultures together, the hockey culture that we have right now. And I knew there was going to be a lot of East Indians going to play hockey because we love the game. And you know, I'm in the East Indian houses, like Saturday night, oh, hockey's on. Like, you know, Edmonton's playing Calgary, Battle of Alberta, and everybody's watching. And then we're downstairs playing between intermissions, playing hand hockey. And then we find out the game's back on. And, you know, there's a lot of love in our community for hockey. They embraced it, you know, and so I wanted to kind of give back, and coaching became one of those avenues that I did.
Well, tell me about APNA Hockey and how, you know, what the seed of the idea, where that came from, and how it actually came to fruition.
So APNA Hockey was started by Lolly Tour, and I left that program in July. So I started South Asian Hockey, and his vision was that racism was the reason why he couldn't prolong his career in hockey. So, and that was where that started. And for me, before I joined APNA Hockey, I was already doing ice sessions for our community. So anytime there was Pro D Day, I would look on the calendar and I'd be like booking ice time. And some people were on different you know, school calendars, because there was four modified this or that, and I rent the ice, and I would go out there and I would you know, do simple drills with the kids, and they loved being out there with me because I looked like them. I was their uncle. Like, I knew their dads and moms. I grew up with them. A lot of them were from Sparwood or the Elk Valley, and so for me, I was already doing that. I was already helping people navigate their hockey registrations, and you know, a lot of it was on ice, but like helping with registration, helping them with, I used to go watch some of the kids play hockey, like minor, like when they were in minor hockey. My kids were young. Some of them, they didn't even start when I was used to going, was going to the rinks to watch certain kids play hockey, kind of critique them a little bit when they, you know, if the parents are like, what should you work on? I mean, first of all, he's having fun, right? So that part happened. And so, you know, in my time with that platform, I realized that there's some inconsistencies, you know, vision. Racism was part of hockey. And I'm 17 years older than the person that, the Lolly that started it.
Yeah.
And 17 years prior to when he started, like, that was different type of racism. And I really seen that is Lolly's journey in hockey really based on racism, or is he just not good enough? And that's where I had to kind of put pull myself apart. And even like when you start a platform, you want to be on the ice with the youth. You want to be talking to the parents at the rink. Yes. You can't, you know, if you're like, use soccer, for example. My nephew's doing a soccer program. He played UBC, then he went to Fraser Valley University. He got his certificates in soccer coaching, and he's doing Saturday morning coaching, Sunday morning coaching. He's got a team that he runs. And now he's got this great base of foundation for mentorship and leadership that he's providing for the kids. So what I'm trying to say, you have to be involved with the kids. You have to be involved with, and the parents love him to death. You know, he's got a great personality. He tells it how it is. He's pretty direct. And Manny's my nephew. And I go, I'm really proud of you of what you've done, like with your soccer career. So went back to hockey. He didn't have that in him to go in front of the kids. We both shared and had access to our Instagram accounts, and I'd be sifting through them at night going, oh, a parent is looking for help. He would read it, wouldn't act on it. Then I would call him the next day, like, hey, you know, somebody needed help. He's like, ah, you'll handle it. Like, but they didn't have that internal from here to help. And then when I won the Willie Reed too, it's not a award that you celebrate like you won a championship, right? Like that's, you know, there you see people drinking out of the cup, out of the trophies and stuff. Willie Reed was an ambassador for the game. He would go to hockey rinks to different, you know, black neighborhoods and embrace the game of hockey, you know, be there, be an ambassador for them, be this role model for them. And that's what the trophy's for, but not just to sit back and be like Instagram, share stories, right? That's anybody could do that. So right. I wanted involved with youth and so forth. And that's where I would say it took me a while to break away. I broke away, but I thought I can teach them along the ways. Like, let's do more camps. Let's get in front of people. Let's really be involved. And I've been to about 40 or 50 homes, helping them register kids in hockey. Because they're, okay, Deppy, I don't know what to do. You know, like, I'm like, I'll come to your house. Right. So I've drank a lot of tea and ate a lot of Indian sweets at people's homes. When I come over, there's a red carpet treatment sometimes they give me, right? Right. I'm there with hat on backwards and shorts on. I'm like, all right, pull out your computer. This is your, you know, jurisdiction. This is your association. So when I, over the years, I've seen that he didn't want to do that. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pull apart and just go on my own and just keep doing what I'm doing. And I had a lot of people tell me that you might need to break away because your vision is way different than his, right? Way more like, you know, we all say growing the game, but you're actually in front of people and right. so forth. So, you know, we did hockey summits with Anthony Stewart.
Yep.
So we went to Toronto and then I did one and without his involvement in Calgary. And it worked out perfect. Like, you know, he wanted to do it in Edmonton, didn't want to put for the effort to rent the rink and get everything organized. So I, in 24 hours, I had another hockey mom. Her son had played for Boston Academy, just got drafted at the USHL. His mom goes, let's do it here in Calgary. I'll help you. Within 24 hours, we got everything set up from the lunches, the ice times, the coaching. It's not rocket science, but we got everybody together and he just stayed off to the side. He stayed in Edmonton. And then that's where I kind of clicked in is that, you know, you need the same, if you want to be teammates, you have to have the same vision. So whatever he started was a great start of social media,
right?
Showcasing our collegiate athletes and all that kind of stuff. But that's, you got to be more than that. You know, right. The first year programs already, I always say to my kids, right? Now they see me, they hear me talk and everything. By the way, my kids said hi, because they know who you are.
Hi.
you have to manufacture something. You can't just, you got to build something, right? You can't, and you know, social media is a good advertisement to what you do, good promotional. But Arjun Atwal, you know, who's up for the Willie Reed right now. Like, him and I collaborated. As soon as I broke away, he's like, Damps, I'm at the Parham Dhaliwal. We're doing a Parham Dhaliwal passed away. We're going to do this 3-on-3 ball hockey tournament. I want you to be there. I want you to play, and you know, I want you to be there. You got your new platform. This is great. We start talking. I go, hey, I'm doing a hockey camp the next week. He's like, I'm here. I'll do it with you. We got our junior kids from Surrey Eagles, Jag Pangura, Savik Brar, Div 3 player DK Hunts. They came out with the kids, and within 3 weeks of me leaving that platform, we've already did a hockey camp. And parents know that. Parents see the separation and all that kind of stuff. That's who I want to collaborate with, is guys like Arjun and guys that the people that actually want to talk to the parents and quit on the ice with the kids. And we're doing another summit in Surrey on August 5th to 8th, and we're just sending out the registration link probably today or tomorrow. And parents are waiting for it. They can't wait for that. And that's what I like, is to be in front. We're going to be doing one with the Oilers. Hopefully the Oilers win the cup. My mom's a big-time Oilers fan. I'm always here. The broader scarf.
Better knock on some wood. I know. We're talking just before game one of the Western Conference Finals right now. So, yeah, I have some people in my family who are certainly rooting for the Oilers, too. I mean, I am, too. They're the only Canadian team left.
Yeah. I just want them to win because my mom is already saying, Dempy, I'm nervous. That's her line in the morning. I got up a little bit later today and she goes, Dempy, I'm nervous. And I'm like, I know, mom, they'll do fine. Right. Like, and it's going to be awesome watching the game with her today.
That's sweet.
And all that. And so, yeah. So that's the biggest thing, is that, you know, we want to be supportive for hockey fans. And my parents didn't, had support in the Sparwood community by other people helping us out with rides for me, because when my dad was working the mines, night shifts, day shifts, they couldn't take me to some of the tournaments, so I had to go there. And so I learned a lot that you need to kind of work together and with the same like-minded people. So Arjun and I will be doing camps. We're looking at Brampton as well. So finding a weekend where we can get away and do a quick camp there, and just being the, you know, the role models that those kids need and so forth. We have J.K. Gill out of Toronto, who's played over Ontario Hockey League. Unbelievable ball hockey player, him and his brother, J.C. Gill. We just did that ball hockey tournament. They ended up winning it, the South Asian Canada Cup, which the NHL was involved. The Flames were involved. Las Vegas Golden Knights, Bama Golden Knights, it's their inline program. They were involved. So we met. I was part of the manufacturing of that in 2008, and when my son was born, and then my son got to play in the same tournament at the A division with me, so that was pretty unique. My daughter played as well, so that's what. In going back to it, is that programs will start and do things, but what are you actually doing, and what is your mission? And that one day my kids want to start an initiative, you want them to do it from here, not for the clout, not for the popularity. You're going to get that regardless, right? But those are the important tangibles that that need to go into a platform. So.
And what is your dream? What is your vision for the next generation of South Asian hockey players?
First of all, for them to have fun with hockey, because not everybody can play at the elite level, right? Hockey brings together like the teamwork. You know, I have families that the parents go, my son just plays house hockey. I'm like, that's totally fine. But they're embraced in hockey. They know all the stats of the players. They follow hockey so closely. It's not all about the higher levels and getting to the NHL. I think the more and more East Indians that play hockey, South Asians, Punjabi players, Sikh players, Muslim players, there's going to be some superstars. There are a lot of superstars that are coming up. I think in this next generation, there's going to be even more players that are going to hit the WHLs, the NCAAs, and all that kind of stuff. Not just from the male side. The females are doing great right now. Females are doing actually better than the males. We have five girls in youth sports coming up this year, and that's awesome to see. And lots of, more than a few in NCAAs. So my dream is just to support the families and the youth in the game of hockey. They're already hockey fans or the grassroots levels is kind of my favorite, is that introducing them to hockey. There's one family, they're just like, I heard you have hockey equipment. So I brought both kids over with their mom and dad. They played hockey in the basement with my son. I fitted them with whatever equipment I had. 85% both kids got enough equipment. And then the Flames had a South Asian night, and I actually was thinking about them, like, hey, Mr. Sani, have you ever went to a Flames game? He was like, no, we want to go. Basically, they didn't know what to do. Right. And the Flames said, it just happened where the Flames gave me 4 tickets to any family that has never been to a game. Boom. Gave it to them. They were featured on their social media. And he called me kind of like with a shaky voice, like, thank you very much. Like, you know, there's not a dream of like, I want to be a CEO of this or a president for a company. You know, a lot of people have that in the corporate world. I just want everybody to have fun with the game, grow it to, you know, in a positive way. Our kids can learn a lot from the game, the intangibles of preparation, discipline, focus, attention to detail, connecting with people. Now everybody's on their phones, right? But like the one-on-one connection, the embrace hockey together and so forth. So there's not like a one set. But and the parents just I go to hockey rinks to watch my nephews play. Even Calgary had a short span there a couple times, and I just ask my cousins and I go, hey, what time is the Arc playing? What time is Camden playing? What time? Oh yeah, they're playing at this time. Okay, I can make 1 or 2 periods or whatever the case may be, and I go watch them play. And for them, knowing that Coach Dams is in the, or Uncle Dams or Coach Dams is in the stands is great. And then I just love watching the parents just so into it. And some of the parents are coaches as well. So, and just for me, is just like everybody embracing the game at all levels, from the kids playing hockey, the parents being parents, parents involved like being a treasurer or being a coach or being a general manager. And just seeing all that is just very dear to me. So.
I have to mention, by the way, we have a San Jose connection. Tim Graywall, who is one of the coaches of the 16 or the AAA U16 team, who are fantastic.
Yeah.
In the Junior Sharks organization. You guys are close. We did a feature on our video feature series, Making Waves with Tim. And so, of course, he talked about you. So tell me a little bit about Tim and what your thoughts are on what he's doing in San Jose.
Well, first of all, congrats to his daughter being committed to an NCAA. When I put that down on our social media, I get a lot of messages. That's awesome, right? And like, to having his daughter play, being committed to the NCAA, and a lot of people will see that and then go through her social media page and all that kind of stuff and see her kind of journey in one sense. Tim and I talked about 2 or 3 years ago, and then I seen how much passion he had for the game, how much he was involved in, and just his coaching mentality of, like, you know, the same basis that have fun with the game, but teach the higher levels, the different intangibles that we all want our athletes to adhere by. And then seeing his daughter kind of jump up and captain of the team and lead the way, if you will. And just, he talks in such a humble way. And, you know, it takes, when a team does so well, there's gotta be people behind it that mm-hmm. make it that positive. And Tim's one of those guys. You can hear, I actually have still posted online your guys' interview podcast, and he sent it to me, and just listening to him, so passionate and so real about it, so humble about it, and so giving into the game of hockey. And you need more people like that. And mm-hmm. I'm very proud of his family doing what they've done with their daughter and to get to where she got to. And you know, if you have a great supporting cast at home, behind the bench, not just as a coach of X's and O's, but mentorship and really the care factor, the girls, or male or female, are definitely going to be successful in certain ways, right? Not everybody will get a scholarship, but everybody will have a very positive experience for that team that has that supporting cast. So Tim has really given even me some a lot of inspiration of being, you know, in the coaching field and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So I love that guy. Like, just hearing what he's had to say is just very dear.
He's a great guy. He came in and he's like, "Oh, I'm kind of nervous." And I said, "Don't worry, you know, we can always like start a sentence again. We're editing it. Don't worry." He was perfect. I mean, he's yeah. also like, he's so well-spoken. He's so smart. He's so charming. Anyway, for sure. Like, that's sort of the hallmark of they've set the bar for just the makeup of a great hockey team and a great way to relate to a fantastic hockey market, you know, in a community there. I want to ask you sort of to finish up, you know, in 2020, when you won the Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award, you know, when you think of that, like, do you carry a responsibility now? I mean, you already owned that responsibility clearly since you were 12 years old, but, like, you know, you spoke so eloquently about what Willie does, still continues to do, to kind of grow the game and integrate communities. Do you kind of carry that in your heart all the time now?
I want to say yes, and want to say, yeah. I think with the Willie O'Ree, the whole process of it, when it was brought to my attention, I looked at the details of who gets picked, and I seen Darcy Hogan, first name, that. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. Like, and then it was Rico Phillips. And, you know, when you get into that nomination part, before I did that, I kind of researched who won in the past. Like, right. But the biggest thing for me was Willie O'Ree, what he's done to the game of hockey, what he's brought light to, you know, his journey in hockey. I got during the Willie O'Ree, after I won it, I got a chance to have a Zoom call with him. Before I got to meet him in person in Nashville, I just loved his story. It was about an hour long conversation, and just to hear his journey, kind of direct from the person And then being able to, then I think it settled in then is that, wow, I won this award on this namesake. I already appreciated this award. Mm. I thought the NFL did a great job of putting this award for anybody that fits those intangibles that he has put forward. And then now, you know, winning it, I've always said it wasn't a win for me. Mm. It was a win for the hockey community, our South Asian community, a win for my parents that are out there. My mom's looking into the window right now. Just like what some of the parents, not just my parents, some of the ethnic parents that had to go through in the game of hockey. A lot of kids quit because of certain restrictions that were put on them and all that kind of stuff. But for me, yes, when you win an award like that, there is a responsibility of doing things the right way. You know, I was here in Penticton and I was at a BC Hockey Hall of Fame. I was invited to be part of that. And there's a gentleman that came up. He's like, oh, Dampy, the Willie O'Ree winner. Awesome. Like, and he just, the way we talked, and, you know, it gives you a kind of a, you know, a minor celebrity status in one way, but I've never looked at it that way. I even the trophy itself, I always kept it at my parents' house. I never kind of paraded it around and to be where it was. And it, remember, to get to that award, you needed community help. You needed votes.
Right.
And you needed people to kind of buy into what you did, right? There could be a person that you're best friends with and you could be like, I don't want to vote for him, right? But people had to buy in. And I play a lot of ball hockey, so a lot of the ball hockey community supported me on that. So a win just for, like when I say it for myself, to be put in this situation, it was a win for the community. And if I can be an advocate and for that 12, 13-year-old that had this dream to be a role model. Maybe I didn't back then use those words as a role model. Now I'm put in that category of a role model. Mm-hmm. I think anybody that's on TV that's playing any professional sports has that obligation to be that role model. There were a lot of reasons why they're there playing at that professional level and so forth. So my field is a little different. I won the award not because of goals and assists or because of my gameplay. It was what I'm doing away from the game. Mm-hmm. And so gave me a kind of reassurance that, hey, you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And community, it kind of gives you that. It does put a little bit of onus on doing the right thing and helping out as much as you can. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of people, even the John Hafferman was the finalist and Alexandra Briggs-Blake. And I looked up what they've done. And, you know, I won this on behalf of those two and others that, you know, put their nominations in that have done wonderful things for this sport. So I think it's something that it's a very humbling thing. It's not something that, you know, when you win a championship, you put, you know, you carry that trophy around like crazy and you know, you have your fun with that. But you know, I put a little bit of pressure on myself to do the right thing, to not only help our community, but also to be that person that people can follow.
Right.
That's where I, you know, when Arjun, Sunny Seacon came up to me, he was, I'm going to nominate Arjun.
Mm.
And like, this is great. I've worked with Arjun. Arjun's played WHL, played Alberta Junior Hockey. He captained that team, led the league in scoring, got a scholarship at U of C, got his MBA and all and everything. And I'm like, yeah, like when I say this, I'm going to fully support him and all that kind of stuff. So he goes, how awesome would it be if I won the award too? And you know, you're one of the guys I, you know, looked up to and so forth. So when you hear that kind of stuff, that really hits you to the heart that there's, you know, you're in that position. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, people like Willie O'Ree went through a lot of challenges to get to where they got to and can, you know, put themselves in that role model position. And if my name's in the same sentence or even kind of referred a little bit to it, then that's very special. So, you know, in the long-winded answer, it's hard to kind of just say yes or no, but there's got to be context to it. But I love what I do, to be honest with you. It's a passion of mine, and I want to continue doing that. So,
Dampy, how can people follow along, you know, keep track of what you've got going on? What's the best way for them to find you?
Well, one of the things is I'm actually currently getting a website made for organization. My wife has been wants it perfect. She's a perfectionist, and she's like, okay, I want this and I want that. So there's a good buddy of mine that's actually going to put it together and have a call with him later on today. Mainly on through Instagram, southasian.hockey. I'm very active on that. I'm getting a lot of DMs and messages from parents and even kids that they'll reach out to. When are you doing a hockey camp? And, oh, can you showcase my goal on? I'm like, yeah, throw everything at me. And, you know, I have my own personal one, danp.brar as well. But like southasian.hockey is where if anybody wants to reach me, I'm quick to give my phone number to parents when I see that it's the right time for them to have a conversation with me or any navigation in the hockey journeys that for their kids and stuff. But I love it when kids will reach out to me and be like, hey, I scored an amazing goal. I want to, can you get, yeah, just send it. Like, I'm more than happy to do that. I just
love it.
Instagram, I love Instagram in a way that it allows the kids to showcase their talents and all that kind of stuff. And that's one way, probably the easiest way to reach out. And then, like I said, I'm very open to give my phone number to parents and all that. So.
Well, I mean, on behalf of those of us who love hockey and want to see it truly exist for everyone, thank you for everything that you do. And thank you for taking the time today.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me. I was very excited when I got your message. We had an operations meeting at OHA today at the Academy, and it kind of, our times kind of conflicted. And I said, sorry, I'm on a podcast with Tara Sloan. They're like, oh, Tara Sloan? I'm like, no problem. It's just a quick meeting anyways. I know I've been part of those. So, you know, and good for you for what you're doing as well. To be honest with you, I've seen you on TV. In the hockey world, and then what you're doing right now is awesome and helps get the word out of other people, not just me, but other people like Tim and anybody else that you've interviewed. And I think that's important to have these conversations. A lot of people will listen to podcasts while they're driving and all that kind of stuff, and just inspire them. And it could be a coach that's just has his kid in Timbits Talking Canada, and they hear myself or Tim or other people speak, and they're like, hey, you know what, this is awesome. And podcasts like yourselves really bring the hockey community together and really actually grows the game and helps us in a positive way. So thank you as well.
Well, thank you, Coach Damps.
Thank you.
And hi to everybody at the Okanagan Hockey Academy.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So
of course, as we mentioned during the podcast, Dampy and I were speaking the day that the Oilers and the Stars were set to play game one of that Western Conference final. And we all know the result of that game. The Oilers did not fare so well. So I feel sorry for Dampy's mom, and hopefully Edmonton gets it together for the Brar family. But Dampy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat and for all the incredible work that you do in the greater hockey community. Really, you've made such a difference, such an impact. Thanks to all of you out there for listening. I'll be back in another couple of weeks with another inspiring guest. But in the meantime, keep your sticks on the ice and your fins above water.